But I did want to welcome my queen, my wife of 50 years. Stand up, Chrissy. Yeah. And I married her when she was 4. And so we've been married 50 years. And so she sometimes says, isn't that enough? And I say, if you leave me, can I come too? It's but it's great to be here in God's house with some of the finest people on earth, in Jesus' name. And I love Dallas. I love Americans. Americans are just so positive and honoring and celebrative of people succeeding in life. And that's unique to you. And you have such a great acceptance of all nations on this incredible melting pot of a nation. And I know that there are a lot of critics and people, but I honestly, the big picture of America is magnificent, and especially of the Lone Star State and the Cowboys. Come on. I don't know who you're praying for. You're praying for the Chiefs today or what? You know, like, ooh, I won't go there. Yeah. It's great to be here. And I wanted to, just before I get into sharing this message, which I'm pretty excited about. This is a great message for us in this hour. But I wanted to talk about a couple of books that I've just written. I've written maybe 25 books, but these two I've written in the last 2 years in COVID times, because I was finding that there were a couple of conditions that I really wanted to address in our church, in our movement, and to Christians generally when I get to speak in other conferences. And one of those things was the idea that let's wait until this is over and then we will get married, build the house, start the business. And so people thought, we'll tread water until then. So I said, no, you cannot live life like that. You got to do it now. So I wrote this book, Do It Now. it's a maxim I live by in my head. I have about 100 little maxims that guide my living. That's one of them. So when I get a bill, I pay it now. When I get an assignment, I do it now, rather than when it's due. Because if you're going to deliver it when it's due, you'll do it like on Monday night when it's due on Tuesday. And you're stressing. You're so stressing. And people are stressed because they don't do it now. They wait until it's due, and then there's all this stuff that just builds up in their world, and they've got to apply themselves in the last few minutes, and they're scratching like preachers trying to get a message on Saturday night. It is ridiculous. You should have had it on Monday, Tuesday that week, and get way ahead of the game, and you're calm. Everybody else is stressing. Look at you. They're chickens. You're an eagle. Amen. They're just flustered, flapping and flying nowhere. And so the thing is to do it now is a whole range of things. You can go to my website or Amazon or Kindle, you know, and you'll be able to download it. It's only a digital version because one of the things in COVID, we can't ship books wherever we go. So we've just done digital versions, and which most people like to read anyway. And the other book is Disciple. This is a book I really wanted to write because I feel like it's what God is talking to us about in the church. And before I'm anything, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Before I'm a preacher, before I'm a pastor, before I'm a leader, before I'm a man of faith, an artist, or whatever, I'm a disciple, which means I have a ruthless commitment to Christ. I'm going to follow him no matter what. COVID or no COVID, scandals with preachers or whatever with churches, I don't care. I'm going to follow Jesus. Even if the guy who led me to Christ falls away. If nobody in the world's going to follow Jesus, I will follow Jesus. I've made my mind up that I'm going to follow Christ. And I'm going to live by disciplines, not feelings. So I don't go to church if I feel like it. You know, it's like, well, it's a discipline. It's a pattern of life for me. And I don't love people because I feel like it. There'll be times where I don't. I'm a pastor, for goodness sake, pastoring people. people come to me and say, you know, I'm going to leave. And I say, well, maybe I'll come too, you know, because you think you got reasons. That's like to work through those situations as a disciple grows you. You get bigger and better because you actually got through the things that are life-forming. And if you've got those disciplines, you'll hang in there when the goings get rough. And one of the most absent issues in today's world is resilience. People just collapse when they fail or when things go wrong. Maybe it's we've got a generation of kids who are told they can achieve anything and follow your dream and you're amazing. And they grow up and they find they're not amazing, they can't achieve anything, and it's, you know, they're not as good as they thought, you know, and they don't get trophies when they don't win. You know, no trophies for not winning. You go to the real estate office, if you don't make the sales, nobody's going to say, oh, well done, thanks for turning up. You know, here's a trophy. It's just like the real world is requires more resilience. So to be tough and to be strong, to be able to get up again when you've been knocked down. And honestly, you're going to get knocked down more times than you succeed. It's the way of life. And it's always just the ability to be resilient enough to say, I'm getting back up again in Jesus' name. I admire Adam and Eve. Because it says Adam knew his wife Eve again, and she bore another child. This was after they'd had Cain and Abel. Now, from a parenting point of view, you would have to wonder whether you really wanted to have another shot at this. I mean, my kids, you know, we had three kids, and they would fight. But when your kids start killing each other, it's, you know, that's a serious difficulty. And when they're the first kids that have ever been born on earth, Cain kills his brother Abel. Cain gets kicked out of the garden, and he's a vagabond for the rest of his life. And Adam says, hey, let's have another shot. Well, I reckon we could do it next time. Having another go. Just because it didn't work the first time around doesn't mean you're a failure. Yeah. Failure doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means you've got one lesson in the road to victory. And that's it. Amen. So being a disciple is that kind of person. And on the front cover of that book, you see that I was going to be an artist before I was a preacher, which is a long time ago, you know, like 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And I went to university and then I met Jesus and I gave up art. But 25 years later, I felt the Lord wanted me to pick it up again. So I did. And that is one of my recent pieces that I submitted for the Archibald New South Wales Art Competition, which is a very prestigious, the highest and most prestigious art exhibition in Australia. And I need to tell you people, I did not win. We've got somebody in our church who was in the Archibald Prize, and she's a very good artist. No, I didn't win. People, I need to let you know something else. They didn't even hang it on the wall. Out of 3,000 paintings, they get to hang about 100. I didn't even get hung, people. So I thought, I'll show them. I'll put it on my book in Jesus' name. Amen. So there you go. In Jesus' name. Well, it is a delight to be at Trinity in Dallas. And some of the finest people I've ever met on the earth are in this church. You're probably sitting right next to one. This psalm, Psalm 126, for me is about the great return. And for all those who are watching online, one day I'm believing that you'll be feeling comfortable enough to be able to join us all and be in the gathered church of God, worshiping together. I respect everybody's opinion and decision, whether they feel safer at home or how they want to travel in their Christian commitment. But one of the reasons I did write that book, Disciple, is because I found that a lot of Christianity fell apart when they lost the rhythm of church life. When they lost the rhythm of, they just start and doing all kinds of things that they had stopped doing and forgot about church, forgot about praying, forgot about the Bible. And being a disciple, regardless of your circumstance, helps you follow Christ. And I believe that being in the gathered congregation of God's people is definitely one of those great things. So I'm going to read this through, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things. The word amazing is there as well. The Lord has done amazing things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This is a very joyful psalm. It's got singing, it's got rejoicing, it's got turning around your captivity. It's a psalm of ascents, which is one of the psalms that the Israelites sang when they were returning from Babylon back to rebuild Jerusalem, the city and the temple. And the background was that a long time before this, like 70 years before this happened, Jeremiah, the prophet, in the Old Testament, he said, hey, you guys, you've been very, very naughty, and the Lord is over it. For so many times, you're naughty, he punishes you, you come back to God, you come back, all this. He's sick of the cycle, people. We're just going to have a big reboot. It's going to be a 70-year reset. They all said, 70 years? Bury that man. So he was too negative as a preacher for them. So they rejected that pastor and said, we need to get a more positive one. But Jeremiah was, he had a negative thing to say, but he was very loving. He wept for those people. He said, please do this. It's inevitable. It's got to happen. But God wants to bless you even in judgment. You go down there, build beautiful houses, have vineyards. It's going to be awesome. It got so awesome for them, a lot of them didn't want to come back when the time came. But anyway, finally, in comes Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, boom, takes the city, deports all the best people, only leaves the poor and the dregs behind of that society. He just didn't want to bring them back, but he brought all the nobles and the best people and the finery and the gold and everything. And some of the finest young men, one of them was Daniel. Another one was, the three, they got by their new names, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, three guys in the fire. So they took them down when they're 10 years old, down to Babylon, changed their names, so they lost their identity, changed their religion, changed everything, but they had a discipleship mentality. It didn't matter what condition they were in, they were still going to remain true to God. And so Daniel prayed three times a day, every day of his life towards Jehovah. I haven't lost you, have I? This is just a little bit of Bible history right at the start of the service, amen, of the message. This is what we do at C3 Online College. If you get half the chance to attend our college online, you should do that. We have about 3,000 students at present. We're aiming for 1 million around the world. And we sit in I stand in the studio, teach to the camera and all kinds of different teachers in C3. It's an awesome college. Have you ever held it here? Not yet. Yeah, it's coming. Amen in Jesus' name. Okay, so here is Daniel down in Babylon, 69 years he's been there. He's been served under four kings as a chief counselor. He now reads the book Jeremiah. He reads in the prophet 70 years. Looks at his calendar. Woo! It's up. 70 years is now. So he starts praying, God, you got to send us back to Jerusalem, fulfill the word of the prophet. Just because you got a prophecy saying something's going to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. You got to make it happen. You are part of your prayer's answer. You are part of a prophecy's answer. God doesn't work independently of us. Sometimes we're complaining that God didn't do something when he was wanting us to do part of it. So let me explain it like this. You are praying for a tree, but God gives you a seed that you are to plant and nurture and grow. When I'm talking to pastors, they say, we need to find a youth leader out there somewhere. I say, they're right in the house. So, I can't see anywhere. I said, you got to see it in people. There is gold in people. They are magnificent. And God has put them in the house for you to work with what you got. You're praying for a pot, God gives you clay. So that we are involved with God in making the blessing in our lives work. Don't be thinking just God's going to do it. We'll get disappointed. We'll get cynical. Yeah, I asked God to do something. He didn't do it. But maybe if we got involved and started taking steps and moving towards seeing that prayer answered, then the answer to the prayer will be Him enabling us and empowering us to actually bring it to pass. So that's what Daniel did. He said, I am going to pray that this word comes to pass. Well, the devil saw the power of prayer and tried to shut him up in the lion's den. But he kept praying and got chucked out of the lion's den. And so he's praying that God will send it back. Now, the king at that time, Cyrus, this is the fourth king, each has toppled the other over this period of 80 years. Now it's Cyrus, and Cyrus happens to read the prophet Isaiah. And in Isaiah, it says, my servant Cyrus sends my people back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. He says, what? My name's in there. Isaiah named him, said it's the guy's name's, and Cyrus is not a God worshiper, he's a pagan worshiper. He worships idols. But God says, I'm going to use him. He's my anointed. And so Cyrus said, well, I better do what I've been told to do. And he sends all the Israelites back to rebuild their temple. And they are so happy. They are ecstatic. So they are singing this psalm. When the Lord turned back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. We began to sing and laugh because they hadn't been singing down in Babylon. You all remember the song, by the rivers of Babylon, yeah, we sat down. You're just going to leave me hanging here, aren't you? You're not even helping, not even trying. Yeah, look at him trying to sing. Yeah. Not even my wife was helping me. Oh, you were? I'm sorry. Yes, we wept when we remembered Zion. Yeah, you remember that? We hung our harps on the willows by the rivers of Babylon. It was a pop song. And that's... Yeah, but it was in here before it was a pop song. So they weren't singing. Don't let the devil steal your song, people. Keep a song in your mouth. It's you got to have a song. You know, a good friend of mine passed away this last year. His name was Mike Hankins. He took over the church on the Rock, just down the road here in Rockwell. And I knew him for many years. He had a deep baritone voice. And every time I got with him, he would be singing. Praise the Lord. He's just singing around his house. And I wasn't quite into that sort of music, but he was amazing. It didn't matter. I just loved the joy that comes from singing. A lot of you, when you feel joyful, you put on Fox News or CNN or some... And that's going to make you miserable. Yeah, so you think, oh, I'll put on whatever, Casting Crowns or Carrie Job, and let somebody else sing your song. Why did you ever go singing? You say, I can't sing. The Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen. He's not worried about the tunefulness. Just keep some noise going. So we were like them who dream. Now, this is important, people. I really want to nail this before the time catches up with us. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, restored the fortunes, because God is a restorer. Whatever you've lost will be destroyed, will be restored. I declare restoration over you today in the name of Jesus. I declare recovery of all that's been lost. I declare healing of all that's been sick and wounded. I declare recovery and revival in the name of Jesus. Right over us here today. My watch wondered if I fell. It says, did you fall? Are you okay? Such a kind watch. Do you want us to ring 911? That's what it asks you, all those things. Thank you for looking after me. It's okay. I'm good. Yeah, thank you. Amen. So when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, when he restored it, you see, God is a restorer. Whatever you've lost, he wants to get it back to you. He said, the years that the worm has eaten, I will restore it to you. And some people have lost years to anxiety. God's going to get it back to you with a peaceful mind. There's story after story of restoration in Scripture. I can think of three enormous stories. I'll just talk about one or two of them. But one is Naomi. Remember Naomi in the Old Testament, in the book of Ruth? Little book, book of Ruth, amazing book. Naomi, smart lady, beautiful lady, but just had one lapse in judgment. She married an idiot. His name was Elimelech. People, don't marry idiots. Amen. This guy, he wanted to leave church. And he was going to take his family with him. Because Bethlehem, Judah means house of bread and praise. That's where they lived. But it got tough in the house of bread and praise. As it always is going to be at some stage. It's going to be a tough moment. It's not a good reason to leave. So, because it's in the tough times that you're going to be made more resilient. You're going to develop qualities that will equip you for out there. So, but Elimelech, he's not up for it. So they've got two kids, two sons. One's name is Mahlon, the other's Chilion. Their names mean sickly and pining. I'm not sure why you would name your kids that. But they must have looked sick and pining when they're young or whatever. So they go down to the land of Moab, which is like a land of death. Because there's no famine there, but it looks like a lot of good parties on Saturday night. Woo-hoo, let's go down there. We can get right later on, but let's just party on. Let's do this dodgy little thing over here. Let's be a little shabby about life here. Let's just not quite be in the house of God. Let's go this way. And they die. First of all, Elimelech drops dead, boom, in the land of Moab. The two boys marry some local girls, Orpah and Ruth, and then the boys die. Well, what do you expect with names like that? They're gonna go. And so Naomi says, I've had enough of people dying around me. I'm getting back to the house of bread and praise. Sometimes I ask people, what will it take to get you back to the house of God? What will it take to get you back to Jesus? You don't want it to have to take a lot. The prodigal son, he was down feeding pigs, starving, wanting to eat. That's what it took to get him to say, I've got to get back. And so she starts to go back, and the daughter-in-law, Ruth, says, I'm coming with you. So she comes. As soon as she gets back to the house of bread and praise, everything gets restored to her. Everything. I mean, she gets all the finances that she lost back through Ruth marrying Boaz, from whom comes eventually Jesus. And before that, King David. It is astonishing that out of that, not only did they get recovery, but they got added on purpose. Their lives were enhanced. Boaz is the richest guy in town. They are living high because they decided, we're going to go back. When you spiritually get back in there with God, all the stuff that you got lost, it's on the return as well. But God is more interested in us being spiritually alive and reconnected than anything else. And so as these guys began their journey home, it says, we got laughter, we got singing. And that's important, Laughter, laughter's very important. Don't think it's a sort of a throwaway word in here. The Bible says laughter is like medicine. So I've watched depressed people taking pills when I thought if they could just start laughing, they might find that that's better for their chemistry than some artificial stimulant. And if I don't feel like laughing, I just start it up. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. God's good to me. I'm feeling joyful today. Oh, I primed the pump. I spruked it. Whoa. Get a little laughter going in your life. The house of God should be a place of fun. Should be a place of laughter. There's got to be a time when we find joy in the Lord, because that is your strength. The reason we're weak is because we're joyless. The reason we're healthy is because we laugh. And that's the gift of God to us, that laughter would release all these chemicals through us that are actually going to make us healthy people in Jesus' name. When we came out of Babylon, out of oppression, out of the land of death, we started laughing again. Get your laugh back, people. Get your song back. Get your laugh back. Let the joy of the Lord start bubbling up on the inside of you. And we've had a lot of revivals where there's been great amounts of laughter. Now, in the middle of this, it said, we were like those who dream. One of the things that doesn't happen when you're in oppression, you don't dream, because things are hopeless. You can't see a future. Chris and I fought for 8 years to get a building rezoned on some land. The land was zoned rural, and you weren't allowed to build a church on it. We had 40,000 signatures signed against us ever getting it. We had 6 o'clock news on our case, current affairs shows. We were getting smashed in the media. Every one of the local councillors opposed us except for one. 3 times we tried to submit those plans and get them through. 3 times we were rejected, kicked out. What are you going to do when you're getting discouraged and fail and rejected? That's when you need faith. You don't need faith when everything's going well. You need faith when everything's going bad and you decide, I'm going to switch on my faith. And there's a switch in here somewhere that you can switch on today. You say, I'm going to start believing. It seems impossible, but nothing's impossible with God. All things are possible to him who believes. That's what Scripture says. And I would go down to that field and stand where that pulpit was going to be in that auditorium. Weeds as high as this building, people. Dead horses, rusty tractors, chicken sheds that rusted out over here. Grass and weeds and holes in the ground everywhere. It didn't look like anything but a rubbish dump. And I'm standing on that pulpit preaching, and I can see 2,000 people in all those seats around me. I can see hundreds of people coming down the front to receive Jesus. I'll service after service, and I would preach to those people. I could dream. I had to make myself dream, though. It wasn't coming easy. Sometimes the devil would put dreams in my head. Of me with an old overcoat, long beard, and a bottle in a brown paper bag, wandering around Taylor's Square like all the drunks up there and the homeless people. I'd get this image of me. That's what's going to happen to you. I didn't have to do anything to get that image. It would just come. Failure and fear breed their own images. And if I don't intentionalize, they will dominate my thinking. But this imagination creates my future. It's the most powerful creative muscle you've got in your entire being. And if you just let it wander all over and create this mess up there, that's what you're walking into. But the me I see in the future is the me I'm going to be. The me in my past is not the me I'm going to be. It's not even going to shape the future. I'm going to conform to the image of that person I see out in front. So even as I stand here, I see every seat full. Up in the balcony, and I see hundreds of people coming down here, Pastor Joe. You're shaking their hands. You're meeting people every week. You're saying, hi, everybody. There's all these new faces everywhere. You're congratulating them for being in the house of God. Then you do your second service and your third service and your fourth service. And that's just at this campus. There's the other campus. There's people coming in there, flocking into that place, flocking. And then there's another campus coming into that place. Dallas needs to be saved. Amen. Do not think there's enough churches here already. Amen. It's just ready for revival by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we, you and I, create a future by just starting to dream. Dream about your family. The kid that's gone crazy. See them back here in the house of God. See the marriage getting better. See the finances improving. See the boss improving in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God for all the things that are coming up in the future. Jesus thanked God for things before they happened. It's like saying grace. You thank God for the food you're about to have. Sometimes that's a great act of faith, right? When you look at the food, oh, dear God, I thank you. I believe it. But Jesus said, I thank you, Father. You've heard me. He thanked God for what was about to happen because it was positive. Look into your future without anxiety and say, thank God. Things are going to work out just fine. I see a beautiful future. I see things panning out. And you might say, it's impossible. It couldn't happen. Not with God. Nothing's impossible with God. All things are possible. I've seen the most impossible thing happen with our own children. Miracles beyond description, beyond belief. Miracles happen in our church. And God can do it. Once he's got an atmosphere of faith, he can move in your world. If we're in unbelief, it's like an insulator against that power. But once you've got faith all around you, it's like water for electricity. Boom. God starts to move through your world. And part of faith is dreaming that future. One thing I'm going to finish with as we come to a close is right down the bottom here, it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. You know, I got to salute you all and congratulate you and tell you we're extremely proud of you online and in the room because you've continued. You've stayed the course. Those who sow in tears, it's been difficult at times. It's been challenging to think about going to church, especially when you got restrictions, not so much in Texas because you guys do your own thing here, you know, but it's in these other places where they're getting dominated, you know, it's like, but they keep turning up and you keep turning up. And you didn't just turn up, you came with your tithes. You came with your offerings and you kept on giving. Even when it's been difficult, you're thinking, oh, should I hold on to it maybe? Because times are looking tough. But you've decided, no, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be giving. I'm going to be in the house of God. And I'm going to be, it says, doubtless, without a doubt, you will come again. With your harvest. A harvest is coming to you. You're on a collision course with a miraculous harvest that is going to pour into your world simply because you've been faithful, you've turned up, you've kept coming, you've kept sowing, and in Jesus' name, your harvest is coming now. I believe it. And everybody said, amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here. You know, look, just before I close, I want to ask this question. There could be some of you who are here for the first time online or in the room. Or you might have been coming for a while, but you've never actually asked Christ to come into your life. So in a couple seconds, I'm going to ask people to pray. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you've never done that. If you've been away from God, I'm going to ask you to come back. Return to the Lord today. Come back. And if you're not sure you're going to heaven, I want you also to raise your hand. You might be in church, but you're just not sure. So can I ask everybody to close their eyes? And if that's you, you've never prayed that prayer asking Jesus into your life, or you've been away from God and you need to come back, or you're just not sure you're going to heaven, right now, wherever you are, would you raise your hand? Just put it up high for me, and I'll pray for you here today that Christ will come into your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Thanks, I see your hand. God bless you. Up the back. Who else is there? Thank you, I see your hand. Who else is there? Thanks, I see your hand, buddy. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Anybody else want to join these five people? I see your hand, young man. God bless you. Who else is there? Would you just raise your hand? Put it up high so somebody can see it. So I can see it. Thank you. I so appreciate that. Okay, can we all stand? Let's all stand in the presence of the Lord. Those who prayed that, who raised their hand, I want you to pray a prayer with me. But let's everybody pray it together, especially those who raised their hand. Can you say this? Dear God in heaven, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. Forgive me. Receive me. Help me follow Jesus. Thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. Amen. Lord, I pray for each person who raised their hand today that a peace that passes understanding would fill their mind, that assurance would come into their heart that they are on their way to eternal heaven. Father, let the blessing and the grace of God pour down on every heart here. I pray that for every believer, faith would find a way into their heart. They'd switch it on and they'd start to dream again, sing again, and laugh again. Lord, in this great return, as people come back into the house of God, let there be such celebration in the name of Jesus. We pray for Dallas Trinity, for Pastor Joe and Nancy, the abundant blessing of heaven that knows no limitation would rest on their lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you very much, Pastor.
Come on, guys. Give it up. Yeah. Fantastic to be back in the house of God. Fantastic to hear a message from an apostle. Fantastic to be able to take what you had and just apply it to your life. Amen. It's time for laughter back in the church again. It's time for joy. It's time to come back and enjoy being back with one another. All those of you that joined us online today, thank you for being with us. We have a seat for you. We want you to come back. All you that are here, hey, give each other a high five. Hey, we made it today, baby. Yeah, and it's a great thing to be together. Now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord give you blessing, peace, and prosperity everywhere you go. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you.